why did you pick the name Tidballs?
He's the first name. Pete's first. Well, sorry.
Go ahead.
He's the first.
Let me start it again. Hold on. Here we go.
I'm too comfortable.
Welcome to Cash Money Nation. We rolling trees out to Jamaica. We keep some money in gun cases. Cash Money team, y'all can't stop hating.
It's Cash Money, everybody. Cash Money, everybody.
All right, I'm sitting here with none other than Brian Jarvis. How are you, sir?
Fine, Russell. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not going to say you're not a musician, but you do own, in my opinion, the best place to play music in Bowling Green.
The Mecca.
The Mecca.
The Mecca.
Where were you born?
I was born in Davidson County, Tennessee, which is Nashville.
Right.
In the year of 1975.
Okay.
Baptist Hospital, to be exact.
Right. And when did you move to Kentucky or Bowling Green?
I moved to Bowling Green in 1993 after I graduated high school. Came here to go to college for coaching English, like a general ed studies. I wanted to get into coaching and English.
Coaching studies. Coaching what?
Coaching basketball.
Basketball, okay.
Yeah. Go Doors.
John Tidball.
Yes.
When did you meet him?
I met him, I guess it was my 8th grade year, so that would be, top of my head, probably 1987, I guess.
Was he also from Davidson?
He's from, I'm not sure where Tidball was born. Some people say parts unknown, but...
Sure.
he's from White House, Tennessee. I met him when I was 12. He was 14 years old. Yeah, he was on the high school basketball team when I was trying out. That's where I met him at, so.
Okay. So you guys are basically the same age?
Tidball got skills, too.
Does he?
Tidball's 2 years older, yeah.
It's important to mention he's older.
I'm better than he is, though.
So you guys, did you both go to Western?
Yes. He came up here in 91, his degree, I believe.
What did he get his degree in?
I want to say business and accounting.
Okay.
Actually, I know it's business and accounting. So, and then I got in the bar business, 2 years after moving here, weasel my way in behind the bar at Old Charlie's on the bypass. Gotcha. And I said, enough of school, man. I want this Skrilla. I got to get this money, man.
So you're working at Old Charlie's.
Yeah.
Where's Tidball working at?
Tidball at this time had moved back home, I believe. Home. Actually got an apartment with a friend in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And was working at Wilson's Leather. Remember Wilson's Leather?
I do, yes.
Yeah.
Made leather jackets, I believe.
Yeah, leather jackets. Remember those those fly black leather vests that were hot for a while? Remember those?
Yes,
he used to wear those to work. We used to make him wear them to work. We used to always pop in there and just throw some shade at him. It was funny, man. But he went there, and then I guess he lost his job there. Long story, he got fired. But and then bought a house in Bowling Green, moved up here, and I got him into the bar business, trained him in the bar business, the bartending.
Was that O'Charlie's as well? Or?
That was Kelly Green's. Kelly Green's. I worked at O'Charlie's until 97.
Okay.
And then I believe Kelly Green's opened up in 98, 99, I guess. Okay. Tibau didn't do shit for like 2 years. Just kind of just laid around. Did some gardening maybe.
So you got him a job at Kelly Green's.
I got him a job at Kelly Green's.
All right, so you guys are both working at Kelly Green's.
Yeah.
At what point did it occur to you that we should just have our own bar?
Man, the way that place was set up was so fucked up anyway. Like upstairs was like the Brewing Company, blah, mm-hmm. blah. Anyway, it was Kelly Green's upstairs. That's where you had your bigger acts. I guess like the biggest people that played up there, I guess, are like Catawampus. Nappy Roots played there.
Right.
A few other oldie but goodies, I guess. And then I ran downstairs, man. And most of your local musicians played downstairs. Your Clay Pals would wind up playing down there. Who's in Fat Box, of course.
Right.
Jason Gregory, we talked about him earlier, was mm-hmm. playing down there. A band called The Loft got their start down there. So I was more inclined to the underground. That's crazy. I guess the underground is where we were at, in the basement.
Time, definitely,
so,
yeah.
Wow. So we basically ran the downstairs, and it was more successful than upstairs, a surprise. And then Ebersol came in and snagged the lease out from under Kelly, someone that was there under Kelly Thompson, and shit canned everybody. And it's like, we were like, you know what, fuck this, let's do it for ourselves, man. We've been doing it for this place anyway for 2 years, so
right.
Why not do it for ourselves? So we found the old Parakeet building was available and hopped into that spot pretty quick.
And for those that don't know, the Parakeet building, is, as you're calling it, what was it before you guys got it?
It was Springer's. Springer's? It wasn't Springer's before we got it. What was it?
You're supposed to know.
It was Parakeet, and then, it was Springer's, and then Springer's, and then Springer trashed the fuck out of it.
How old were you when you opened?
26.
And why did you pick the name Tidballs?
He was the first person to write a check.
Okay.
So, and then he was the least popular, I guess, of Jason Gregory and myself. So we couldn't do Gregory's.
Sure.
Because I mean, come on, you just get too many skeletons in that closet. And then I couldn't do Jarvis's. It just doesn't sound right. You know,
sure.
BJ's or
Tidballs, you know, is odd. Last Tidballs, name anyway,
man.
Too, though.
Let's call it shit. Tidballs, man.
Right.
So, right, Tidball, so wrote a check, and I guess we're supposed to put our money together. And then I guess the rest is history on that aspect, too, man. So,
right. Do you remember what was the first band that played at Tidballs?
Slim Island Hustlers, man.
Slim Island Hustlers.
Yeah, Michael Buchanan, Jason Smith, Tony Minix, Brian Sharp. Maybe there was another dude in that band, too. I don't know. It was packed, man. It was crazy.
Did you have, like, dips where it was slow and you're like, I'm not sure I've made the right decision?
It was like any
decision.
Other place that knew that I was up in town. I think at that point, there was no other bar, really, or no other bar worth a shit, or any live music venues or anything like that, so... Of course, you could put a drunk monkey on stage with a ukulele.
Sure.
At that point, and people were going to get out of the house. You know, they were just excited for something new. But we didn't really notice a dip or a lull in the business till maybe like after 9 months, not months to a year, till after like the newness wears off of like any new toy or video game or something like that.
Right. And when you guys first started, was that in y'all's minds? Was that going to be one of the main things to focus on? Like, we need to get some music in here. We're going to have the people
we were clueless.
Just happen naturally?
I mean, I think we were just clueless. I think we're just
right.
Like, hey, we got a bar, man. You know, it's like, hey, we got a bar, party. You know,
yeah.
It was more like that. But yeah, after a while, we had to realize that, hey, man, we got to do something. So we focused more on the music aspect of it, and the local scene was. Really wasn't flourishing then. I mean, there were some good bands, but it wasn't as popular as it is now, or as it was like a few years after that. So
right.
So it was always kind of hard to keep your books kind of full and
right.
Stuff like that.
What was the first time? I mean, I'm sure now, but especially then, when I first started playing music, the reason that you wanted to play music at y'all's place was. People paid attention to you. In other words, the culture was you weren't just the jukebox. People were actually looking at you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you think that came? Is that just luck, or is that your buddies and they appreciated music and that kind of grew?
I think it's more of the people that we surrounded ourselves with, and I guess the bands and the quality of bands and the way the room is set up, it's like if you're gonna be in that area, you really don't have a chance to talk. You know?
Right. I mean, you're not gonna hear each other anyway.
That's right. Really. And at that point too, you know, I don't think we had a sound guy. I think we just ran our own sound, so you know,
right.
we're fucking clueless, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not gonna sound, you know. But a lot of also was just like, you know, hey, we're getting ready to play Tidballs, and let's call Tommy, and Tommy's going to call Susie, and Susie's going to call Debbie, and Debbie's
right.
Going to call so-and-so.
Just word of mouth.
So everybody gets word of mouth. They're like, oh, I'm going to see, you know, my boys play or my girls play or whoever. And then just kept on throughout time. This is a place you come to hear music.
Right.
You know, it's not, you know, of course, you know, you want to, there's time to there's always time to socialize before and after. But it was like, you know, people and still to this day, I mean, people give you their attention, you know.
Right.
And even to this day, I mean, I'm hardly ever down there anymore, but I mean, when you go in there, you see, I mean, you still get that, you see, I mean, you still get that feeling if the band's great or if the band's, you know, shitty, you know. Right. There's still going to be people in there that are there just to hear the band.
When do you think, after you guys started, or it may have been immediate, when did open mic start?
I think it was immediately, man.
Was it?
I think I was one of Gregory's big,
Okay.
I think it was his big, go-to. Right. I did a fist pump there for who can't
right.
see
well,
that.
Well, I was going to say, like, it was around 2000 or 2001. When I first came to Tidball, I first got old enough to come to Tidballs. And, Jason Gregory was running open mic.
Yeah.
And it was just well known. And at the time, you didn't know if it was like Jason Gregory had the power to get you a gig. And you didn't know if he didn't matter. All you knew was that you had to play open mic.
To get a gig.
Because at the time, I remember being young, like, Tidball, I don't think I ever talked to you until way later on. I always talked to Tidball. And, he really never gave me an answer about anything, but Jason would tell you 50 things when you asked him one thing, and then he would talk and he would tell you like, that was a good set, you do this next time. He would actually coach. Like, I remember coming to open mic and him going, that last song you played was horrible, here's what you should be doing, here's how you sing this, like, and regardless if you listened to him or not, when I started doing it, it was like, I need Jason Gregory to like me.
No, Gregory. He knew his shit, man. He gets a lot. He gets a lot of slack because of the way he portrays himself, and he's such a cut up man. But I mean, a lot of musicians will you know, they'll tell you, you know, he was a big mentor to them. I mean, go ask Kyle Daniel, man. You know,
right.
I mean. He'll tell you that Jason means the world to him. He probably still does this day.
Yeah.
Someone like Clay Harney. I mean, tons of musicians, man. Even the guys from Floor. Josh probably kill me to freaking hear me say that. But
I'm sure it's the same thing, though, especially for people my age. Like, that's who you talk to. Because if you wanted a gig, it was a well-known thing. We'll come play open mic, and if you're good, we'll talk.
But still, to this day, we wouldn't be where we are without Jason Gregory, and anybody can tell you that.
Let me ask you, what is your favorite time you've ever had at Tidballs? It doesn't have to be a show. What is your favorite time when you've been in the bar and you've been like, this is the best this is going to be? Like, what stands out in your head?
Oh, man, that's hard to...
Or name me a few. You don't have to name one.
There's been so many moments, man. I mean, of course, the first thing is grand opening night, you know?
Right.
How we reached capacity, and we didn't really... I mean, everybody's heard the story 1,000 times. I mean, we didn't really have anything to even... I mean, we just barely got our liquor license and didn't have any coolers or used big Tupperware bins to ice down stuff and makeshift speed racks and... Making it to capacity that night, man, that's just something that's something I'll take to my grave. It's probably one of my proudest moments, you know, as a 26-year-old kid to do something like that in the city that, you know, I don't know, just meant a lot to me. Any of the anniversaries are great, man. Any of, like, our big fundraisers. Like recently, this God rest her soul, everything with the all the juju stuff, man. That's so freaking rewarding to put a smile on someone's face, especially when it's a kid. When you're a bar, you know. I mean, a lot of times you hear bar, you know, and it's such a certain stereotype, but. Just any type of benefit, like the fibromyalgia, the stuff we did, you know. I mean, all that stuff's cool, and then of course, I mean. You can't mention great nights without any type of night when Cage will come back and play, man.
Right,
I mean, those nights are just like you just kind of sit back and, you know, and just revel in all that they've done and accomplished and knowing you had a small part of that, man.
Yeah,
it's which is cool. And I guess them getting us like that platinum record, that was pretty special. I don't know, man. There are a lot of special moments, but there's also some, you know, you take there's also some bad moments
too.
What's the worst?
The worst night at Tidballs you've had.
The worst night at Tidballs I ever had. Oh, jeez. Man, that would have to be an old buddy came in town. And how do I say this? He was into extracurricular buzzes or activities.
Sure.
And got into a fight with a guy who was, me and him were mouthing back and forth about basketball, but my buddy was, that's what we do down there, you know?
Right.
Kentucky sucks, everybody knows it. And
sure. And
I was voicing my opinion, and he came back, and I shot him down and shut him back. I made him look like an idiot. But my buddies thought, you know, it was more of an argument, more than just us talking, and got into it with him. And long story short, man, the old school Pac-Man Galaga machine, you know, there's a plastic top on it.
Right.
No, it used to be glass top. So they got into it, fell on top of that glass. Dude picked up the glass, cut my buddy to his bone in his arm, like from like, I guess the inside of his elbow. Cut all the way down to the bone. So I had to shut down. It looked like somebody got murdered in there, man. I mean, there's blood all over the place. So, but yeah, man, having to go to Walmart and be like, okay, well, I need some bleach and a mop. And what's the movie where they all go to Vegas and accidentally kill the hooker or whatever? Very Bad Things or something.
Yeah, I think it's pretty
bad. They all go to the store and get all this cleaning. Mm-hmm. I felt going through the freaking house. I got a bucket of showers.
Some lime and some
rum. But anyway, my buddy is all fine now, man. He's good. He's good.
Who has been your longest standing employee? Who have you employed for the longest?
Got all of them, man. I guess Jeff, though. I guess Jeff's been there since day one.
Walker?
Jeff Walker.
Jeff Walker's been there since the very first opened.
Jeff Walker's been there since Kelly Green's, man. First time I ever met Jeff Walker, man, he put me in a chokehold.
At Kelly Green's?
Yeah.
Did you deserve a chokehold, or is he messing with you?
Nah, I don't know, man. Man, some dude was messing with a chick that I like after hours. I guess like he smacked her or something, man. Of course, I was like, oh, show
right,
you how
yeah.
to put your hands on, whatever.
Yeah.
So I smacked him hard. And I tried to throw him through a stained glass window.
Huh?
I tried to throw him through a stained glass window. I had him by his throat, but his stained glass got all his wires in it, you know? So
right.
I did a psh. I was like, he ain't going through.
And then Jeff got you.
So Jeff's like, what the hell? Jeff put me to choke. I was like, hey, man, I'm good. I'm just trying to throw a dude through a window. I work here, you know?
Right, yeah.
But that's how I met Jeff.
But how much older than you is Jeff?
Man, Jeff could be 40 and he could be 80. I don't know.
Could be
man.
200 years old. We don't know. That's the thing.
He's like Yoda.
Did he have the same?
Yeah.
Did he still look like Jeff?
Yeah.
Then?
I answered your question before I got out. Yeah.
Yeah. He did. All right. Yeah. Right on. What's your favorite band? Not local. It could be a local band, but what's your favorite band? It could be any kind of music. What's your favorite artist?
What's my favorite artist of all time?
Yes, of all
Nirvana.
Time. Nirvana. Okay.
Yeah. Nirvana.
Right. Favorite song?
Favorite song of all time? All Apologies, I guess, man.
Okay.
Right. I hate to pick the hit Nirvana song.
Well, there's a reason it was a hit. It's a good song.
That song has a lot of me. I was going through a rough time in my life before. It's kind of in and out of Bowling Green at that time. And just that whole album and those words kind of resonated with me, man. So I kind of clung to Nirvana. I had angst, that grunge angst and
right,
stuff.
Right, yeah.
Man, so. But I like all music, man. Of course, I'm big into Hova, Jay-Z, and mm-hmm. you know I like a lot of the old school rap and then today's music. I like a lot of the locals here in town. I'm not going to say any names. I don't want to ruffle any feathers or,
sure,
you know all that stuff. So
good. If you could go back and tell yourself when you first started, when you guys first started the bar. To do something differently, so act differently, say this differently, care more about this, what would you have done differently then that maybe you didn't figure out until later on?
This is probably going to surprise a lot of people, man. I'd probably be a lot nicer to people. I'd probably have a lot more patience with, with like certain customers. I mean, just be nicer in general. Not saying I'm not a nice person. I'm a dickhead. You know, I'll be the first person to tell you that. But I wish I would have carried myself a little different during certain times instead of letting my temper get the best of me. Yeah. And of course, you know, the drinking hurts too. I don't drink anymore, but you know, the drinking and the tempers and
makes it a little easier to kind of go over the top.
Makes it a little easier, man. But I really don't have any like major regrets as far as business wise. I don't really have any regrets. I mean, you live and learn. I mean, if you don't make mistakes and have bad times, I mean, how the hell can you have good times and learn? And you know, that's just like the circle of, I don't know, the circle of life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So. No regrets, really, man. I just wish I wouldn't have been a dickhead so much over the past, you know.
What advice, if any, and you can't say have good music, you can, but that's not what I'm asking. What advice, if any, for bands that are starting to play, that are wanting to play? Say a band comes to Tidballs. What advice do you give that band? If you want a gig, don't do this, but do this.
My number one thing would be on time.
Okay.
Be
punctual.
I hate people are late. Number two, man, listen to the sound guy.
Right.
Number three would be, man, just play with, don't play. Don't try to be somebody else, man. It's okay to have influences, you know?
Right.
But don't try to sound like that influence, you know? Come up with your own sound, you know?
Be yourself.
Yeah, just be yourself, man. And if you suck, you suck, and it's not for you. And if you're good, then just stick with it, man.
Right.
And if you suck, we're probably going to tell you. There's that being my regret, being nice. And I'm like, oh, you suck, you know?
Yeah, you're not so good at that. We appreciate you and John. We put our dick beaters together for Gregory.
Yeah.
And, really do appreciate it, though. I don't play anymore. I myself am an old lazy man that likes to go to bed as soon as possible.
Me too,
I don't think,
man,
I've played anywhere in Bowling Green but y'all's place in years, because I don't even consider it an option. That's the only place I feel like playing.
I appreciate that, man. There's some new places popping up, and you know, and I wish them all the best, but that's like I say, man, they suck. No, man, we appreciate you, everything you do for us, man. All the freaking musicians, man, are amazing. A lot of times we get thrown to the forefront for things that we do, and a lot of times it's the people that we surround ourselves with and the musicians that should really get the credit and not us. We just unlock the doors and lock them up. That's it, man. So
sure,
cool, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Anything I can ever do to help you, let me know. Indeed. Check me out on YouTube.
Check Brian Jarvis out on YouTube.
Young Jardy.
We're gonna plug Young Jardy. We can plug Young Jardy. I can put some links on there. Do you want me to plug Young Jardy?
Send me out whenever you edit this. Just send me out with some Young Jardy music.
Well, it'll start with some Young Jardy music.
It'll start
with
some Young Jardy.
Oh yeah, it will.
Maybe we should start with the big loud one. You know, the second one.
Okay.
And then we'll go up with the last one. My life is dope and I do dope shit. Pictures of my daughter and no pictures of me. Find a Sistine Chapel, me with 16 priests. No baptism, just restore their beliefs. They want to know Jesus kicks it with me. 6-month cruise porting out of Belize.